Welcome to the Fuller Tracy Money Audio Commentary. This is Owen Tracy recording at 1:04, and that is Pacific Summer Time. And today was in the aftermath of Apple's disappointing results yesterday. The Nasdaq sold off about 70 points, but then paired the decline following the Fed's announcement that it was not going to raise interest rates. And of course, that was very much in line with expectations. But that they're in no particular hurry either. So they're leaving the door open to the potential for an interest rate hike in June, but it'll be 100% dependent on exactly what happens in terms of the economy. So when we look at then, I've been talking about the 12-month yield in just about every audio over the last week, and that had surged higher in early trading. And that really does confirm that there's at least a near-term low in the region of the moving average and around the 50 basis point area, but also that it paired its advance in the aftermath of what the Fed had to say. So when we look at some of these stock market indices, then there's a number that bounced off their lows in here today. But for example, the S&P wasn't down very much to begin with, and it closed out the day pretty much, it was just about in positive territory, but not really by very much. So we still have this rather tentative environment at the upper side of the range for a number of indices, and this is still a risky kind of environment. Then when we start to look around the world, it was, broadly speaking, a reasonably positive day in Europe and reasonably soft day in Asia, and the exceptions were India, which following yesterday's really quite firm performance improved upon that again. And when you look at it on the medium term chart, then both the Sensex and the Nifty posted these large upside key reversals from their respective lows about 2 months ago, and have now pushed back up to close the overextension relative to the trend mean, and are now pushing above the trend mean. They started doing that at the beginning of last week. So the medium-term downtrend has been broken, and that's really very important, because India remains a high-growth market. And I posted a report today talking about the growth in emerging markets, and I'd like to expound upon that a little bit in the remainder of the audio. When we look at something like India, where the currency had deteriorated so abruptly, and it has been allowed to weaken over the last 2 years as the RBI has engaged in this reserves building operation, which basically amounted to selling rupees and accumulating dollars. So and that is not over. But what it has done is that it's improved the competitiveness of the Indian market. And then with the rise in commodities, there are a number of very large, and I think, you know, the Mittal brothers having bought Arcelor, and then you've got Tata Steel. India is a major steel, international steel producer. They're benefiting from rising commodity prices as well. So then it's important that you can we see this return to relative performance following what has been a very difficult environment. And it isn't just because of commodity prices, but it's also that India has improving governance. And that's particularly true if we look at India as a test case or a study, a case study, and then start looking at Latin America, where it's been hard to argue that the situation in terms of governance has been improving for much of the last decade. In fact, it was the surge in commodity prices really did help to paper over a lot of the cracks in governance right across the continent. And now, with commodity prices having fallen so much, it has really, and I guess it's very appropriate to quote Warren Buffett, is that you don't know who's been swimming naked until the tide goes out. And it turns out that much of the continent of South America has been swimming naked are basking in high commodity prices and doing nothing in terms of their governance. But a crisis almost invariably gives people a choice. They can either continue to go down the path of deteriorating governance, in which case they're going to end in financial ruin eventually. And certainly There is evidence that that is the choice that people have made in Venezuela. But in Argentina, they have made the opposite choice and choosing Mauricio Macri late last year with his promise that he was going to normalize the currency, and that amounted to devaluing it because it was trading so weak in the black market, and then finally reaching a compromise with the bond holdouts from their default 15 years ago, and now that has been put to bed just this week. So these are massive moves for the Argentine economy, and then Argentina is one of the largest producers of lithium. So that's really very good news for some of those lithium miners in that country as well. But it's the fact that governance is improving. And then we have to look at Brazil. Brazil continues to march ahead. It was up over 2.5% in here today, and it continues to unwind the it has more than unwound the oversold condition. It has now got a short-term overbought condition as it approaches the medium-term progression of lower rally highs. And Brazil has been subject to really quite incredible volatility, but then it's a slow-motion drama that is unfolding there. But the lower house has voted to impeach Dilma Rousseff, and that suggests that we're going to have a different government. And well, obviously, we don't know what the composition of that next government is likely to be, but at least clearing out the old guard, many of whom are tainted by corruption, and in fact, many of the politicians that are attempting to impeach Dilma Rousseff are also tainted by corruption. So then it is just a root and branch reform of the administrative elite is going to be required there. But Brazil is a large country with a young population, and then it's a commodities powerhouse. So small changes in terms of governance improving can really have a very big influence both on investor appetites and indeed for the kinds of consumer companies that benefit from increasing demand in many of these countries. Because in tandem with this improving governance, what we're starting to see is that the currencies are improving. And that's particularly the case for emerging market currencies, which had been trending lower for a number of years already. And the vast majority of people tend to look at the euro dollar and the euro yen, and yes, the yen has been trending lower for quite some time, and it has strengthened up more recently, but is unlikely to go very much stronger. And the euro, having deteriorated for quite some time, has been ranging for the last year. But for example, the Indonesian rupiah trended lower for 4 years. The Brazilian real, the South African rand, they had all trended lower for multi-year consistent downtrends, and those downtrends have lost consistency. And that's the kind of environment where people start to get interested again. So, and I don't think that is something that's really on the cards or is being considered by the majority of investors, because they have really had their fingers burnt in emerging markets over the last few years, and there is no denying that some of these indices are among the best performers so far this year. Then when we actually look at the commodities themselves, then the continuous commodity index has broken its downtrend, and it is now back above the 200-day moving average for the first time in 2 years. So yes, there is potential for additional consolidation here, but it really would need to break its progression of higher reaction lows to really consider that the potential for a recovery scenario is no longer the base case. Then precious metals today were reasonably steady, and palladium, having been as low as 599, finished out the day at 611, so it really unwound a negative performance to finish at the upper side of its range on the day. Then silver is continuing to be really quite firm, and oil prices continue to move higher. And they were up another dollar in here today. So WTI is around $45 now. And Brent crude is around $47. So then this is no longer just about short covering, that we have yet no great visibility on when or at what price level the unconventional supply will come back into the market from the US, and that Baker Hughes rig count continues to trend lower. But when it starts to move higher, then that's likely to be a catalyst for oil prices to start deteriorating. And just as a measure of just how much pressure the oil sector has been under, ExxonMobil lost its triple A rating in here today. And of course, you might ask, how do they manage to hold on to it for so long against a background where oil prices have come down so much? But they've lost it now. And that's just an indication of just how much stress some of these companies are under. So they really need this price to not only go up, but to stay up. And unfortunately, the most likely scenario is that once we get this reversionary rally out of the way, and it's already a bit more than reversionary rally, then the big question is, at what point are prices going to find support on the next big pullback? That's going to give us a great deal of information about the likely medium-term to long-term outlook for these energy markets. Now, when we then go and look at the bond markets, then the majority of bond yields have been moving higher over the last 7 or 8 sessions, and that resulted in prices pulling back. Well, prices steadied in here today, and the long bond in the US was up over a point, the Treasury up a bit more than half a point, and then both bunds and gilts were a bit steadier in here today. But and certainly in Europe, we're starting to get these stories about people getting checks in the mail from the bank because the interest rate on their mortgage is now negative. So the bank is actually paying them interest rather than the other way around. And this is an extraordinary set of circumstances, and it's not exactly healthy, is it? So there's definitely the only thing that popped into my head when I saw those stories, because it's in Denmark and in Belgium where these things are happening, was Chuck Prince, and that we have to keep dancing as long as the music is playing. But what happens when the music stops? So there really are some very large questions looming, and I think we'll be writing more about it in Comment of the Day over the coming weeks. And I think for today, I'll leave you and wish all the best to all of you.